still alive,
though some have died.
Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by God's grace, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. This is the word of God for us, the people of God, and all God's creation. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy God, we surrender. We surrender again on this Resurrection Sunday. We surrender all of our lives to you. We're asking now that you would open our hearts and our minds and our ears, that we may be transformed. We believe in this resurrection transformation again on this day. And we claim it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Cleve, that was a lot. That was a whole lot in that 1 Corinthian passage.
There's a little bit there. Y'all, we get to talk about resurrection today. And before we jump in too deep to the ways that we see resurrection power beckoning us into new life now, we want to make sure that we are all on the same page about what the Apostle Paul and all of the apostles of the early church were proclaiming about Jesus' resurrection. We need to know what we're talking about when we say Jesus was raised from the dead.
And that's important, because I'm sure if I look over here, I'll have some experiences from folks that'll say, this is what I was taught. And then over here, we'll have people that will say, well, I was taught this way, just like the disciples. Every one of them, they had disbelief. They didn't believe that it was a bodily resurrection.
Yeah, that's right. We see in the Mark passage that was read earlier this morning, folks literally don't believe that Jesus has been raised. Even after Mary Magdalene goes and tells them, I've seen him, they don't believe her. They don't believe her. And then they don't believe the ones that proclaim after they've seen. And I hear this and I go, that makes a lot of sense. People don't get out of graves. Of course they didn't believe. But friends, this is what the apostles proclaim.
That's right. They do
not say, we believe in our hearts that Jesus is risen. They do not say, Jesus lives in our memories and in our hearts. That is not what they say.
They didn't get it, Cleve.
They
didn't get it.
What do they say, Gloria?
They thought that Jesus was a ghost. They believe it was some spiritual transformation, not a bodily coming back, a coming here. And it was very perplexing, because when we look at this Easter season, we all have to look at, what does it mean to live in the resurrection? What does it mean to truly believe that it wasn't just a spiritual transformation?
See, there's a change that we see in the telling of the story in the Gospels, where eventually you see Jesus showing up and having meals with the disciples, cooking breakfast on the beach with the disciples. And then when they write letters to churches later in their lives, like in 1 John, the apostle says, you know, we proclaim to you what we have seen, what we have touched with our hands.
That's right.
They don't say he lives in our hearts. They don't say he's risen in our memories. What they say is, dude got out of the grave. He met us on the beach. We ate fish. We shook his hand. We gave him dap. We were there. He was risen from the grave. That's the message of resurrection.
That is. And we are to walk in that. Not just today, but every day. Yeah. And I want to look out and see, how many of y'all really believe that today? Let me see a show of hands. I want to see it.
We're going to talk about why it matters today.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why does it matter that Jesus, that his body got out of a grave? And by the way, I mean, in the language of the New Testament, it's very specific. There's this great phrase. You guys want to learn a fun phrase? Repeat after me. Anastasis nekron.
Anastasis nekron.
Anastasis nekron.
Anastasis
nekron. That means the rising of corpses. Literally. That's what it talks about in the New Testament. When it talks about Jesus' resurrection, it says anastasis nekron, the rising of corpses. Literally the body. Why the body? Why does that matter? Why does it matter?
It matters to us, Cleve, because if we're going to walk in this, not just today, but every day of our lives as believers, as Christians, and we will be agreeing that there was a physical body that was risen. We also believe that it is God's stamp of approval on what Jesus did, what Jesus actually gave up for us. But then it also impacts us, Cleve, because if we are going to believe that that was God's stamp of approval, then the fact that we are walking in this resurrection every day, then our lives are new too. We have risen beyond what we've experienced, our sin and all those things in our past. That's one reason why it matters.
Yeah, I think of I think of the ways that our bodies suffer. Like, I think it's a significant thing that Jesus, like, it's easy for us to think about his crucifixion being a suffering of the body, right? Like, we can imagine the whipping and the torture and the beating and the spitting and the slapping. We can imagine the nailing to a cross. We can imagine the asphyxiation as Jesus struggles to breathe. And the body is what suffers, is what dies, is what is buried. And that matters because that's the way our bodies experience the world. Our bodies get sick. Our bodies get cancer. Our bodies suffer abuse of all different kinds. Our bodies are oppressed. Our bodies die. We carry trauma in our bodies. And when God raises Jesus from the dead, God says, your bodies matter. I don't just allow the suffering of your bodies to have the last word. Your bodies that I created out of the dust and called good, I will raise up out of the dust again and say good forever, never will die again. Our bodies matter.
And Cleve, as I'm reminded of that, I go directly back to the gospel lesson. I go back to that because I can picture Mary Magdalene and Mary there. And these are the thoughts that come to my mind. How were they trying to look at preparing for his burial? And I go back to that because you want to know, how does this matter? It matters in one specific example of those women that did not even believe at that time. But I want to read to you the passage again, because the question that comes to my mind is the conversation that they had right there at the tomb. Right on the way there, they asked, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? They were trying to figure things out, Cleve.
Yeah.
And I go back to that because many times when we are in places of physical pain, body hurting, or difficulty in jobs and et cetera, we've got to remember the resurrection and all of that has taken place. And that's important because, as Jesus said to those women, this is what he says in verse 4, beginning at Mark 16. When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. That's important, Cleve, because there are times when we are physically in our bodies unable to even move. But we are to believe that just as Jesus talked to Mary and Magdalene, they were aware that the resurrection did matter and that they know they didn't move that stone. But Jesus said to them, this is important for you to go and tell.
Yeah, as you're narrating the story, I'm imagining, I mean, the only thing in the women's mind that morning is death, right? They're in a graveyard. They've watched Jesus die. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing they expect to find is death. And how much is that our world, right? I mean, how much do we look around and it's death all around us? It's another unarmed black man being shot. 8 shots to his body, 7 in his back. It's more bombs in Syria killing children. It's more mass shootings over and over and over again. It's more friends who are sick. It's more car accidents that take lives tragically. Death is all around us. And these women go into this graveyard expecting nothing but death. And I imagine we are tempted to go into our lives expecting nothing but death. And I find it very significant that in the middle of Paul's statement about resurrection, where he's basically saying, hey, if you don't want to take my word for it, Jesus also appeared to these other 500 people.
Right.
You can go ask them. But then he says something really interesting. Most of whom are still alive, though some have died. The message of resurrection does not mean that there is not still death in this world. The message of resurrection came out of the midst of death. It came out of the midst of the graveyard. It came out of
exactly.
the midst of the tomb. And resurrection in our lives comes out of the midst of death, out of the midst of all the obstacles. And so we want to ask, what does resurrection look like in a world where it looks like nothing is changing?
Day
what does
day.
Resurrection look like this week in your life? When it looks like the world is not changing. When the world is still a mess, what does resurrection look like? Why does it matter? When racism is still all around us, why does resurrection matter? When violence and injustice are running rampant through our communities and through our world, why does resurrection matter?
Let's pause for a moment. Because I saw all those hands raised. They believe in the resurrection. Why does a resurrection matter when you know that Stephon Clark was one of the additional black men that were shot with just a cell phone in his hand by the police? Why does a resurrection matter in that case with his grandmother at the back door? These are people that raise their hand. What's the response today? Why does the resurrection matter?
Why does resurrection matter to dozens of family members and kids and moms and sisters and sons and daughters who die in a fire in a Russian shopping mall this week? Why does resurrection matter when it doesn't look like the world is changing? Paul says that Jesus has been raised, and yet some have died. So why does resurrection matter? Here's what we think. We think resurrection matters in two moments. One right now, and one that will come.
Right
and in
now.
The moment right now, the resurrection of Jesus matters because the power of the resurrection is changing us in the midst of a world that appears not to be changing. The resurrection power of Jesus is changing us in the midst of a world that does not appear to be changing. Let's talk about hope for a minute. What does hope do in us in the midst of a world filled with violence, injustice, and death?
Cleve, I'll say to you, this week was a hard week. It was a hard week as I reflected on the funeral of Stephon Clark. And when I heard his grandmother's voice, it brought back Trayvon, Mike Brown, and many, many other mothers of those black males that were killed. And it was more of a traumatic flashback for me as a mother of a black male. And so when I think of the transformation now and the grace of God that I have to walk in, I have to hold on to the Holy Spirit that gives me the power to even stand here with you today. You see, when you turn on the TV, that's one part. It's the other way of life for people of color. It's another way of life for those that have to deal with all the things over and over, knowing that transformation, the grace, and the Holy Spirit is with you. The now that we walk in, the now resurrection, and the fact that things are not changing. Many of us know about the last account of Alton Sterling's killer. The police officer, y'all know about the results on that, don't you? Yeah. So there is no change. So for me, it's traumatic. For me, it is only by the power and the assurance and the comfort of the Holy Spirit that Jesus says in John's Gospel, the 7th chapter, verse 39, that that is what we receive through the resurrection. So I hold on to that. The now and the future. Oh, you have to hold on to something every day when you walk and you stand as a believer, and the resurrection has got to have the power in your heart.
Yeah. The resurrection is God's declaration over a brutalized and murdered body that there will be justice. There will be vindication. There will be restoration. There will be healing. There will be renewal. There will be reconciliation. The fact that it was Jesus' beaten, abused, and brutalized and murdered body
yes.
that was raised gives us hope that when we see bodies destroyed, that God doesn't just say, oh, well. God says, no, no, no. There will be resurrection. What about love? What does resurrection have to do with love?
That brings to my mind Dr. Martin Luther King. When I look at his life and how he was always front and center and was strong, I'm reminded that he also had to lean into the importance of the resurrection and the love of God. You see, it was at a time in his own life when he couldn't get out of bed. For days, they tried to get him out of bed, but he was depressed. He was depressed when he saw that little black children were beat up by grown white people coming from school. And he felt that there was no hope. But the love of God and the love of mankind is what pushed him to go further and to stand on the resurrection of transformational power. Yeah. Back to that again, transforming us, even in our depression, even in our darkness, even in those places of despair.
Yeah, I think of the way Jesus says on the cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Yes.
And Jesus had told his friends over and over again, the Son of Man will be killed and on the third day will be raised up. And on the cross, as he's experiencing both this utter feeling of being abandoned and crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In the same moment, trusting that the Father
yes.
is yet there and says, into your hands I commit my spirit. And trusting in the hope of resurrection gives Jesus an ability to love even the people nailing him to a cross such that he can pray, Father, forgive them.
That's
they
right.
don't know what they're doing.
That's that forgiveness, Cleve.
Resurrection gives us the power to love even our enemies, even those who persecute us, even when they don't deserve it,
yeah.
to forgive those who have done
yeah.
us wrong, even
mm-hmm.
when they're not asking mm-hmm. for forgiveness. And all of that is freedom.
Yeah.
That is freedom from fear. That is freedom from anger and bitterness and hatred. That is freedom from the control another person's harmful actions would have on our souls. Would have in our minds and our spirits. It is the freedom that comes from resurrection of knowing that this word of violence, this word of harm, mm-hmm. this word of oppression will not be the last word.
That's right. Will not.
Because God will raise us up.
That's right. And with that forgiveness, we are to forgive those just as Christ has forgiven us. That forgiveness is that transformation that will prompt those to walk in situations where there is pain and hurt or injustice. I'm reminded of that when I look at those last words that Jesus said. Jesus went through a lot on the cross. And when you hear, forgive them for they know not what they do, those were the first words. And I'm reminded when things happen on my journey and I'm encouraging people to forgive, I'm reminded that it's because Christ forgave us. And it's through that resurrection, that transformation, that we're able to continue on this journey over and over in forgiveness.
I think at the bottom of it, for me, the resurrection of Jesus, his bodily getting up out of the grave, that's the foundation for faith. If that mm-hmm. goes away, I don't think I believe in Jesus. And this is what Paul says later in this chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. If Jesus isn't raised, y'all, we are wasting our time. If his body didn't get up out of the grave, if it's not Anastasis Necron, what are we doing? It all falls apart. If Jesus does not raise from the dead, literally, that's just another Jew in a ditch. We never heard of him. One of thousands of Jewish men crucified.
But I wonder, Cleve, how many people come on Resurrection Sunday truly remembering that the resurrection does matter? Are they happy that it's a day filled with all of this? Or are they really peeling back all the pieces of this transformation? That's really the main piece here, because when I think of sacrifice, I think of how Jesus sacrificed his life.
That's right.
That transformation that we're to walk in requires us to look at ourselves and to look at, are we sacrificing? Are we resurrected people walking where we are sacrificing mm-hmm. things so that we can represent Christ fully?
Are we receiving the ways of Jesus as our way of life?
Exactly.
And the resurrection is God's ultimate declaration that the ways of Jesus, those are the ways of life that actually are life. Those are the ways of life that, even if they end up on a cross, will be life eternally. These are the ways of life that, even if it costs us everything, God is going to say yes, and it has a future. It is the basis of our faith. It is the basis of all of what we would hope to be a witness against injustice and oppression of any kind. It is the basis of our endurance to keep on going, Gloria, like you were saying, when the obstacles are so many and the pain is so much. Resurrection is why we get up in the morning.
Hope is. And so we're reminded of how important this resurrection is linked to our baptism. That there's no way that you could talk about Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and not even think about what's behind us right here.
That's
this
right.
Baptismal water, this font right here.
Yeah. The scripture talks about baptism. It says that we are buried with Christ
Amen.
And raised again to walk
That's
in newness
important.
Of life
New
in
life.
Our baptisms. And in the midst of that, the Spirit, just as in creation, the Spirit hovers over the waters, the formless void, and brings out of it new order and beauty and goodness. So the Spirit of God is intimately involved in our baptism. And there is resurrection power that is born in us in our baptisms.
Baptism.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
the Spirit, y'all, in Romans 8, it says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells also
in you,
then God will also raise up your mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells
in you.
The Holy Spirit. You know, we said resurrection is the basis of all these things. Is it faith, hope, love, forgiveness, endurance, justice,
sacrifice,
witnessing, all
too.
These things. Mm-hmm. Like right now, the way that that happens is Holy Spirit.
In you.
It is the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that dwells in us. This is why the fruit of the
Amen.
Spirit can be born in us.
That's
and
right.
we would say, how does resurrection show forth in our lives? Love, joy,
peace
patience,
long-suffering.
Kindness. goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the way the resurrection is bearing forth in our lives now.
Bottom line, Cleve, without the resurrection, Satan has conquered. Without the resurrection, there is no foundation for why we're even here today. This is just going through the motions. And without looking at how the link is to our baptism, we're missing it. And so that's why as we look out at you today, and as we pause during this time, we're reminded of the importance of baptism.
We're going to transition to a space where we invite all of you who have been baptized to come forward and to come to the water and remember, whether or not you remember the day, you can remember the fact that God,
Amen.
Through the church, has claimed you as his own, that God has said, this is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased. And you can come and you can touch the water and you can remember that you were baptized and you can be thankful. You can rejoice. All who have been baptized, we invite to come and to remember your baptism and to be thankful.
I remember preparing this for Easter today, Resurrection Sunday, and I kept asking Cleve all week long, who has come? Are there any baptisms? Because that to me connects the resurrection. And so we didn't get names at that time, but today we are here. Today, if you have not been baptized, but you are a member of this community, you have been a part of the City Well family, then today is an opportunity for you to also be baptized. We will be meeting those in the foyer that believe that this is your time to receive baptism. We will be meeting with you out there to consider this is your day.
Yeah. If you're a newer person in our church family and you are just interested to talk more about baptism, we would also love to meet you in the foyer and we could talk about a time to sit down with you later to lean into what that possibility might be here for you.
Yes.
During this time of remembering baptisms, the band will lead us in a song and in a time of worship. We're also going to have prayer stations because we know that as we
yes.
are longing for the day when resurrection marks everything fully, when Jesus comes back and all things are made new, when death will be no more and there will
Amen.
Be no more tears and no more crying, when everyone will be raised to newness of life. We long for that day, but until then, oh, we long to experience more resurrection power. We need more faith. We need more love. We need more forgiveness. We need more endurance. We need more hope. And so we're going to have prayer stations. We'll have one right up here behind me. We'll have one off to the side in that corner, one back in that corner over there, and one back in this corner over here. And as people are coming to remember their baptisms, if you need someone to pray for you in the places where you need to experience resurrection power in your lives, please go. These teams would love to pray over you. So we're going to invite now the band and the prayer team to come on up. To remember your baptism and be thankful. And friends, as we enter into this space, we invite you to invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to you. Invite the Holy Spirit to rest on this congregation. And we invite the Spirit to do whatever the Spirit would want in this space.
And again, as we're moving all around, doing this time of receiving, we're asking that if you do, think that this is a place for you to receive your baptism in the foyer area right over there after we offer this up. Yeah. Please meet Cleve and I.
Yeah, congregation, we're going to join together in our baptismal covenant in the first couple questions as we remember these promises of God. We want a name for us that all the things that
Amen.
We're about to say, they are all born in and only have life in the resurrection of Jesus. Apart from the resurrection of Jesus, we can't recognize and rejoice in Jesus as our Lord and Savior of all. You know, apart from the resurrecting power of God, Amen. Like we cannot receive God's kindness to repent of our sins daily.
Amen.
You know, apart from the resurrecting power of Jesus, we can't resist evil and oppression in all the ways that they present themselves. Apart from the resurrecting power of Jesus, we won't believe that we are who God says we are.
Amen.
So as we step into this liturgy of our baptism and remember together, know that everything that we're saying is because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Amen.
So let us join together in this covenant of baptism.
On behalf of your Citywell family and Jesus Church, throughout the world, I ask you, by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, will you rejoice in Jesus as a Savior and Lord of all? And do you desire God's forgiveness, power, healing, and redemption for your life? If so, please answer yes by God's grace.
Yes, by God's grace.
Citywell, by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, will you trust that you are who God says you are? You are God's beloved child. You are accepted and fully embraced by God through Jesus. If so, please say, I will by the grace of God.
I will by God's grace. By God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, will you allow God's daily kindness to lead you to repentance of your sin, to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, and will you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, please answer, I will by God's grace.
I will by God's grace.
Finally, Citywell, by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, will you accept God's call for you to participate in the communion of the church and to live a life of partnership in the work of God's kingdom? If so, say, I will by God's grace. Friends, the Spirit is with us. The waters are here. Come, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Amen.
You'll see our prayer stations in the corners. Come.